And welcome back to Chambers Changes and Conversations, where local government isn't just policy and paperwork, it's people, progress, and powerful stories. We're pulling back the curtain on what's happening inside the chambers, the changes shaping our community, and the conversations that matter to you. I'm Communications Division Manager Casey Zempel, along with Government Relations Director Stephanie Garrison, and today we are joined by Manatee County Commissioner George Cruz, who also currently serves as Chair of the Board of County Commissioners. Commissioner Cruz was first elected to the board in 2020, and he represents District 7 at large. He brings a background in finance, real estate, and community development to the role. As chair, he's led the board through major initiatives focused on infrastructure, transparency, and long-term planning. From stormwater improvements to trail expansions and animal welfare efforts, Commissioner Cruz is passionate about projects that directly improve your quality of life. We're excited to have him with us today. Commissioner, before we get into the serious stuff, let's start off on a personal note.
Yes, thank you so much for being here, Commissioner. You're one of the most active people in our community. You're well-connected. You belong to many organizations in a leadership role here. You know a lot of people. I've seen you out. I see you out everywhere, and I probably go to a fraction of the things that you go to. So I'm not really sure how you do it, but you are definitely a commissioner 7 days a week. So with all that said, what's something that our listeners might be surprised to know about you?
I don't know if there's anything people would be surprised to know about me. And thank you for having me on, by the way. Because I do go out and I try to talk to everybody, and I'm an open book. I try to make sure, whether it be on Facebook and social media or within the confines of this job, that I'm letting people know who I am, because I think that's important. I think who you are as a commissioner, who you are in the past, helps define how you think about things in the future. And we each come onto this board every 2 years when people get elected in with their own mindsets and visions on things. And some of that was based upon their previous education and life experiences. I think the thing I probably talk about the least, because it's probably the least relevant to what we're doing, although there's the new 5K series, is I really started getting more involved with the community through the racing side of things first. That's how I met Representative Will Robinson when we did triathlons together. So I got involved with going to a lot of the preserves and things around town, and just meeting a lot of people that helped propel me to a point where I ended up running for office. I started out with some 5Ks, sprint triathlons, worked my way up to full Ironmans and marathons all over the country, and now I've been doing ultra marathons and trail races, my longest being 50 miles back a couple of years ago.
Oh, I love that. Are you the only triathlete on the board?
I can't say for certain, but it's probably a pretty good chance.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I love a triathlete. You know, you've been a commissioner for Manatee County since 2020. Take us back to the scene when you first filed to run. And was there a moment maybe that you first realized, like, yep, I want to serve in public office? Or did it just kind of happen over time?
It kind of happened slowly and then fast. It was something I thought maybe in the future when my kids were a little bit older, and I had some time on my hands, I was a little more situated with my current job, that it's something I would consider doing. It was always something I was interested in. But then Steve Johnson, who was then District 3 County Commissioner and was previous president of a bank, decided he wasn't going to run again, which was, in my mind and some other people's minds who reached out to me, was a hole in terms of a skill set on the board. There was nobody with finance experience at that time on the board. So they asked me if I would be interested in running. At the time, I was running a private equity fund. So it was something I was thinking about, but then an opportunity presented itself, and that's how politics always is. It's not always when you want to do it. It's sometimes when the opportunity presents itself. So it presented itself. I filed to run, thinking I was going to go out and shake everyone's hand, knock on everyone's door, and just be out and about everywhere. About 60 days later, COVID hit.
Wow.
And that was the end of knocking on doors and shaking hands and being out everywhere. So we had to pivot pretty quick on that one.
And how did you pivot? How did you continue to make those gains, or make those, especially while campaigning?
Everyone had to pivot. So it wasn't a unique thing to myself. You couldn't knock on the doors. You couldn't get out as much. Like anyone who watched my campaign in 2024, I spoke everywhere. There was a 90-day window where I had over 50 speaking events. Here, it was just more, I pivoted a lot to Facebook, social media, did a lot of Facebook Lives. I was doing them every single day. People were following them and alerting themselves to it. You just had to find ways to do it. I started doing a lot of Zoom town halls and just making phone calls and reaching out to people.
Most leaders have someone or something that helped shape their path. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we're curious, you know, is there a public figure, maybe past or present, who really inspired you, either maybe growing up or now as a county commissioner? And if you could call them today for one piece of advice about Manatee County, what would you ask them?
The first public figure that I really had any interaction with was probably Jeb Bush when he was governor. My family had started up a company in Manatee County, and he had come down a number of times for economic development and other things. I had an opportunity to meet with him and speak with him as he was touring the facility a few times. And I always appreciated the fact that while he was part of a party, per se, he always came off as someone who was willing to think for himself, and he always came off as someone who was looking out for the best interest of a community as a whole and not just some opportunistic way of winning some angle someplace along the way. So I always respected that about him, and I've seen him speak a number of times. He just spoke at a Florida Association of County lunch, I think it was a year or two ago. And even now, you hear him. He's out of politics, but you know, he's very well informed. He's very open about his beliefs. It's not always the same that everyone wants him to have. He thinks for himself, and I respect that about him, and I try to mirror that as best I can. I mean, people see that I don't always toe the line that people want me to toe, and you know, that Jeb Bush, when he was governor and I had had an opportunity to speak with him a few times, really kind of instilled that in me that you could still be successful and be able to think for yourself in politics.
So the passion doesn't dissipate even when you've left public office.
Correct. Well, he's happily out of politics. So he'll tell you point blank he's not coming back into politics.
Yeah.
But he still pays attention, obviously.
Yeah. So if you could ask Jeb Bush for advice or comment on anything for Manatee County, what would you ask him about?
He was able to build up a base, again, by thinking for himself. I don't think this is a question about Manatee County. I think it's a question about politics as a whole right now, and I don't want to get too far into politics. This is supposed to be Manatee County stuff. But at this point, you're kind of put into one bucket or another bucket, and you have to stay there, and if you deviate from it, then you're kind of left to the side. He was able to avoid that. It was a different time, though. You know, could he avoid it today? I don't know. Can anybody avoid it today? I don't know. But that would be an interesting question. How do you still build up a base in a two-party system when you don't really want to conform entirely to either of the two parties?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. So maybe not from Jeb Bush, but what would be the worst piece of advice that you've ever received since becoming an elective official, and how have you avoided not taking it?
The worst piece of advice is people will, and I still get it, depending on who you're talking to, people will say, you know, if you want to succeed, if you want to move forward in politics or in anything, you kind of have to just go on to get along. People expect you to vote the way you expect to vote. People say, you know, you have to keep your base happy even if you don't agree with it. I just don't believe in that. I think I'm very transparent about how my votes are and why my votes are that way. And hopefully enough people respect the fact they may disagree with me, but I'm giving my rationale behind it. I had way too many people when I first got on this board and even recently that tell you, look, you just have to vote this way because this is how this group wants you to vote, or if you want to move to another thing, this is what you have to do. I just don't believe that that's true, but I think too many people get into politics and fall into that bucket and get told that and believe that.
So you're our first commissioner on the show, and I think a lot of people aren't necessarily totally clear as to what a county commissioner actually does. Can you basically walk us through what a typical day on the job looks like for you?
No. No, I can't walk you through because there's no such thing as a typical day on this job. Yeah. I've been doing this for 4.5 years. I've had thousands of non-typical days on this job. One day you show up and there's a hole in Piney Point. The next day you're out at the EOC because the hurricane's coming. I'm out at a nonprofit event one morning, and then I'm out at a chamber event that evening, and we have a board meeting where we're discussing rezoning of a school one day, and the next day we're talking about animal welfare and how to handle our capacity. There is no one typical day. Good commissioners that come along are able to pivot, and they're able to focus. I think you have some that aren't able to pivot and want to create a very structured environment around themselves, and they do not succeed because of that. Others want to pivot too much and they lose focus on what matters to them. Like, I came in from day one, like, I'm an at-large commissioner. I'm not your district commissioner. I focus on more macro level things. I focus a lot on our nonprofits, our animal welfare, our trail systems and multimodal, our budget process. If I was just, you know, like the dog in Up running around yelling squirrel every time something shiny caught my eye, I would lose focus on where I think I can contribute to the county, and that would be a disservice. So there is no typical day. The typical day here is you wake up in the morning and you never know what to expect. You just have to be prepared to expect the unexpected.
But that's how you're finding your balance, right? Is focusing in on the things that you can affect and create a positive change for.
Correct. I try to learn enough to be dangerous about everything. I have no idea how boat ramps work. I don't own a boat. I don't even have friends who own boats. But I know enough about them that I can speak to them if it comes up in a town hall or somebody reaches out to me. But that's about the extent of how far I go on that. But you want to talk to me about how our budget process is or what's going on with our animal welfare or why I think trails and bike lanes are better than roads, I will talk to you until you start crying and walk away from me.
By the way, mymanatee.org/bishop updates if you want to follow the progress of all the improvements that we've got going on site at the Bishop.
Absolutely. So give us an idea of the schedule you imagined before taking office. You alluded already in 2020 that things completely blew up from what you imagined, shaking hands to going to Zoom and Facebook Live broadcasts. You know, compared to the reality of today, what you just mentioned, being a commissioner, every day is different. What do you think the biggest gap is that most people just don't understand about being a commissioner?
I think the biggest gap people don't understand is commissioners aren't inherently paid planning commissioners. Too many people run for this office entirely because of the development side of things. The land use meetings are where we get our viewership. That's where people talk on social media. That's what the newspaper articles are about. Everything's laser focused. Then you get here and you realize land development is only about 10% of your job. And if you don't do the other 90%, you're leaving your district residents without a representation. Mm-hmm. You get here and you start realizing you have to decide what the speed limits are and whether or not there's going to be a speed bump in someone's neighborhood, and if so, where, because nobody wants it in front of their house but everyone wants it. You have to start deciding again what you're going to do with the animals, how you're going to allocate the budget, what you're going to do about municipalities and work with them. Just yesterday I had a meeting about transit because we're having issues attracting bus drivers and transit operators. If you're listening to this and you are a bus driver, please reach out. But we have to decide how we're best going to handle the routes because there's always so much overtime and stress we can put on people. That's not something people realize that's going to be their job when they run for being a county commissioner. They just want to show up one Thursday a month and vote yes or vote no on some new land use project someplace else and go about their day. That's what people don't understand. And people in the community don't understand. There's a lot more to this, and it's the commissioners that have been on this board that are given a broad overview of all the things that improve your quality of life that are the best commissioners, not just the ones who vote the way you want in a land use meeting. And you may 100% disagree with all my votes in a land use meeting if you want, but I hope that everything else I'm doing, which actually makes up a disproportionate share of my job and how it impacts your life, is something that the community as a whole does in fact want.
So let's dig into some of the key topics that you've frequently brought to the public, opening with your State of the County address earlier this year, and a lot of times from the dais too. Stormwater infrastructure, why has that become such a focus? And can you speak a little bit about the progress that we've made so far?
We made a ton of progress.
Yeah, we
Debbie.
Have.
Unfortunately, it's something that I and a few other commissioners have brought up for years unsuccessfully in terms of doing anything meaningful. It's unfortunate that it took something like Debbie and the proof of concept to get everybody kind of up and running with this thing. But nonetheless, we are now. We're allocating a lot of money to it, a lot of focus to it. You have seven commissioners that are laser focused on making sure that Debbie and the impacts of Debbie does not happen again. And so I think that's a positive thing. It's going to take some time because you can't snap your fingers and clean every single ditch and culvert and canal in Manatee County simultaneously. But I think we're putting the resources behind it to make it a top priority in Manatee County. And once we get that first cycle of all the cleaning done, and we're starting with the higher risk ones, the Braden Rivers and the Gamble Creeks, yeah. the ones that are more likely to cause problem. And then we'll go to the second tier ones, which hopefully would be okay anyway. Mm-hmm. Once we get that first cycle done, we'll just, God willing, hope that there's an administration and a board that keeps that process going in the future, and this is no longer a major concern for Manatee County.
Yeah, and that's a precedence, I mean, that you guys are setting in real time, right? I mean, you're letting future commissioners know that, hey, this is something you can tackle, and this is something that is, it's doable, it's a fixable problem.
And it's also cheaper to maintain it in the future once we get it done, and now it's just maintenance. It's more affordable and more economic, more achievable for mm-hmm. future boards to be able to maintain.
Yeah, and we're not the only ones. I know Sarasota just recently with, what, $75 million from their CDBGDR from Ian.
They started up a whole new department. They're hiring a director. Mm-hmm. Our board just discussed that yesterday about potentially starting up its own standalone division. So mm-hmm. it can be laser focused on it. It's not just one more bullet point under some other division's mm-hmm. jobs.
We have a meeting next week. Planning, sort of learning from Sarasota and why they did that.
Yeah, and those funds we never had access to because we've never taken a direct hit like that. But they've already had a couple of CDBGDR disbursements of money. So
they've received over $400 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now you've also been, and you've mentioned it already. Now that you're very vocal about animal welfare and improving it in our community. Now, last time we got Charlie to well up a little bit, so I'm not trying to do that to you here, just be forewarned. That's not our intention. But, you know, tell us about one of the last or recent times you've visited our shelters. What about your experience really just reaffirms your push for these improvements in our community?
First off, when you come on the board, you try to look for things that, you know, I have my core focus. But then you also look for areas where people aren't as focused to make sure everything's being covered. When I got on the board, Commissioner Whitmore was here. She was very focused on animal welfare, but she was the only one. So I kind of jumped in with her to make sure that there were two sets of eyes on anything and work with Sarah and everybody. It's something I've always cared about. We've had always done some nonprofits and events associated with animal welfare. We have a rescue dog at our house that my wife and daughter literally just found running through the road in the rain when it was less than 1 year old.
Oh.
Put signs up, did everything we could to find the home for the dog, Oreo. And we couldn't. And we already had one older senior dog. We were okay with just the one dog, the travel sports and so forth, but we didn't want to put Oreo into the shelter. Mm-hmm. So we ended up adopting him, and he still lives with us now. And, you know, it's important. This statistics everywhere that show that the quality of animal welfare in a community is directly related to the quality of life perceived in that community. It's statistical studies that show that. It's why Manatee County is a no-kill county. It's why Manatee County has been focusing on getting out of Palmetto and going to a better location. We weren't sure what that location was when I got on this board, but when I first got on this board, right after I got on this board, was when Bishop offered to effectively donate a world-class facility to us for nothing. And that was just an opportunity that was amazing. And I felt for a few years we took that for granted. It required expansion. It required money being put into it. But we looked at this like, look at this great thing we got for free. Now we don't spend any money. It's like, no, that's not true. Fortunately, this year, we've put a big effort into finally expanding, putting all the new kennels in there, working on the adoption center there. We're also working on a community center that's going to be a whole separate event. And by year end, at least that's what I told everyone I wanted, and that's what I was promised, Palmetto will be closed down for good. We'll get out of a very antiquated, depressing place. I've been there more than I care to have been there, especially during storms. I spent a lot of time there at Bishop last year doing videos and posts trying to get people to foster the dogs out of there so they had a safer, calmer place to be during these storms.
And just taking on the Bishop facility in itself, I mean, that was a big ask because contingent on that deal was that we remain a no-kill. So, I mean, it's like forever we will – it's a huge commitment, and it just shows our commitment to animals and improving their lives and the lives of people, too, by proxy.
Now, I want to talk about your other favorite topic, trails. So you've been a staunch advocate for our Gateway Greenway Trail and just our trail systems in general. Now, imagine it's 2035. Decade from now, you're riding around on the Gateway Greenway Trail, maybe with your kids, maybe even grandkids, who knows. What might that they point out that would prove that this project was successful?
look, I consider Legacy Trail just a crown jewel of Sarasota. I'd love to see our trail system replicate Legacy. The intent is, at least on the north-south piece, for it to connect to Legacy. The process has already started with SMR going down Bourneside and through Waterside. It'll be successful, again, one, if there's enough buy-in that actually gets built. Sarasota took a lot of buy-in. That's what people don't understand. We can't, as a board or as a county as a whole, just do something by snapping our fingers. There's funding sources. There's community support. Sarasota has bonded a lot of money towards this. And then they created, or it was created, the Friends of Legacy Trail. And they've raised a lot of money for this. It takes everyone to build something. And that took a sample. That was a little piece. Legacy started as a little piece down in Palmer Ranch. It was, I don't know, a mile, 2 miles. It was nothing. It was on an old rail system. And it got so well utilized that everyone else in Sarasota started clamoring, saying, where's my part of that trail? Mm-hmm. And that's what made it happen. You need that proof of concept, and that's why I've been pushing to at least, we have the money now, just to go from the Bourneside 64 piece, which is where SMR stopped, up to Rye Preserve, and then use Rye Preserve as the first major trailhead. There's parking there, there's facilities there. We're working on a different trailhead a little further south. Once we get the proof of concept and people start riding their bikes on it and being out with their kids and realizing 12 to 15 foot protected bike lanes and running lanes are an amazing amenity for Manatee County, then we'll start seeing the ball rolling. That's when you start seeing people saying, hey, where's our Pinellas Penny money? Where's our bonding money? Yeah. Let's get this thing built out. Then you have the east-west from Parrish to Palmetto, which we've also raised some funds from Representative Buchanan and Representative Robinson. I know Commissioner Sadiq's working on the Sun Trail portion in West Bradenton. Mayor Titsworth out in Holmes Beach is working on protected trails out there. Longboat Key is working on a test case of protected trail. Once we can get all that done, people will start realizing how amazing this is. And right now, all of our outdoor activity is West Bradenton. Mm-hmm. You can point to Premier all you want. That's where soccer tournaments go. West Bradenton is Emerson. It's Robinson Preserve. It's Neal Preserve.
Yeah.
It's Perico. Yep. Everything's West Bradenton, but all the growth is East Bradenton right now. And we're underserving it. Other than a state park by the lake, there's no outdoor activity. There's no alfalfa, mountain bike trails. There's no real trail systems whatsoever out there. There's nothing to do out east. Everything has to go out west, which means everyone has to drive on our roads all the way out west.
Or ride on our roads,
which is very dangerous. I used to bike on 675 and state roads 64. but that's just hurting our infrastructure. And people talk about traffic, but you were making everyone from east ride on our roads all the way out west.
Yeah.
Just to go outside with their kids and enjoy the fresh air and be out in one of our preserves. These trails are giving an opportunity, coupled with what we're doing with Parrish Park and everything else, to start allowing some outdoor passive and active activities out east. I think this trail system is one of, and in my mind, the most critical component of our infrastructure, because we can't just keep paving roads.
That's right.
All we're doing is paving over green space, causing more flooding issues. It costs $8 million a lane mile. If you start building real trails, trails that have painted, dedicated e-bike portions to them, that's why we've been reconfiguring to 15-foot trails from the previous 10, because then it's not just recreational trails, now it's also commuter trails, and you're encouraging more people to be off the roads and into these protected trail systems. These are helping all around, and the dollar for dollar of the miles of trail is substantially cheaper than the miles for roads.
So every leader has a why, something that essentially fuels the work that they do. What are you most passionate about as a commissioner, and how does that shape your goals for the county?
I would say, I think most people would say the thing I'm most passionate about is improving people's quality of life. And I know that's a very canned answer, so I'm going to clarify it, because that just sounds like a fake made-up answer, but it's not. A lot of people will say their number one goal is to lower people's cost of living. All you hear about is, I'm going to make your insurance cheaper. I have nothing to do with your insurance. But it's people's quality of life. And that means different things to different people. Like, I'm a huge proponent of affordable workforce, attainable housing. I truly believe the number one way to fix anything in a community is put a roof over someone's head and, and give them a place where they can live close to their employment center, close to their kids' schools. That's why I pushed very hard to make the transit free, to give people opportunities to get to work and get to their schools and get to places in Manatee County in a cost-effective way. It's little things, but it takes a focus and a buy-in from a community to make it happen. And we have a board with some people that are really focusing. Commissioner Ballard focuses very hard on this, and I love her passion for what she's focusing on with the under one roof and fresh start and so forth. You know, that's how you're going to start improving people. It's not just making everything cheaper for everybody, because people always want to say, cut taxes, cut taxes. I want to cut. We've lowered millage 3 times in the last 4 years. But I also don't want Manatee County to be the low-cost alternative. Mm-hmm. I don't want Manatee County to be the cheapest place you can live, just some bedroom community so you can go down to Sarasota or up to downtown St. Pete and actually enjoy yourself. Right. Like, that's not where I want to live. That's not where my kids, after college, to want to come back to live. I want a dynamic place that has a lot of opportunity for growth and employment and enjoyment. And that takes some buy-in from a community, like I said about the trails. That takes some cost associated with it, but it's improving people's lives. And if I've improved your quality of life more than I've cost you in a cost of living, then that's my job, is to use your dollars the best I can for the most benefit. And I feel this board has been working on that. And I think this current board is laser focused on that.
You've mentioned affordable housing, so I want to come back to that. It's an area where we've seen a ton of momentum. And I'm just curious if there is a resident or neighborhood story that really resonated with you when, you know, and you think about that particular situation or story when things get really rough in negotiations or on the dais when someone maybe has an opposing viewpoint. What motivates you? Is there a particular story? Is there a particular project that you're like, this is what we're fighting for?
I don't think it's a project per se. More than when I first got out of undergrad at University of Florida, I went to work on the equity side of affordable housing. So I was involved in it from day one. I don't do it as my normal job anymore, but I've always been involved in it. I've seen the benefits of it. And you see some of these builders, I'll use the example. There was a brief period of time I got my broker license just to do something on the side. And I worked exclusively on workforce housing, buying and selling to try to keep it affordable, try to find people to buy it and explain how you can keep it affordable for people to live in. And one of my clients was Harvey Vengroff. His son now is Mark Vengroff. Well, his son then too. But his son is Mark Vengroff, who's building The Nest at O'Drobbins Apartments and University Row Apartments, and is now doing Forest Cove with the EDC, and we just contributed to him. I saw what he was doing. He was providing housing that people needed. People need a roof over their head. They need something that doesn't have mold, doesn't have a leak, doesn't have rodents running through it. And then as they improve themselves, they can move up. But he understood that. He understood sometimes people just need a small apartment to get their feet under them, someplace safe where they can protect their stuff, protect themselves, protect their kids, especially if they're like a single mother and don't want to be a... And then as you get situated, you move to the next one. Then you move to the one bedroom, then the two bedroom. Then you get your small single family home. And then eventually you buy a home. Not everything has to be buy a home. That does not have to be the first step. That could be the fifth step. But you have to have those steps to get there. It's why it always frustrates me when we talk about transitional housing, because my argument's always been, until we have permanent housing, you're not transitioning anybody anyplace. You're just leaving them in really, really bad, uncomfortable permanent housing until they have something else. We need to help facilitate that. We need to help facilitate that, especially close to employment centers and infrastructure, where it should be, because transportation is a real cost. And transportation effectively is a part of your housing cost, because if you have to live all the way out in DeSoto County to be able to find a place that you can afford to live, but now you have to pay to drive from DeSoto County all the way to downtown Bradenton to work, there's a real cost to that. Not just a monetary cost, but a cost of not being with your children, not being able to spend time at home, not being able to do other things in your life. So we need to create the incentives, whether it be through densities or heights or just attracting people, more of the housing trust groups and the Blue Skies and the Castles and the NDCs to come in here and see Manatee County and City of Bradenton and City of Palmetto as good places that will work with them to help provide the housing we need for our teachers and our first responders, also our young professionals who companies want here to help bring new businesses in for the EDC. But it all starts with buy-in from the community to encourage it, and having people not just yell that every affordable housing project, every workforce housing project is somehow going to create some sort of fictitious crime ring around their neighborhood.
Oh, and that sound means we've reached our lightning round. Commissioner, don't overthink it. I just want you to say the first thing that comes to your brain. Don't take too much time, all right? Lightning round, question one, and away we go. Favorite local restaurant you'd recommend to somebody visiting for the first time?
Central Cafe.
Would you rather morning on the water or evening on the trail?
Evening on the trail.
What is one public service in Manatee County that more people should take advantage of?
Our buses.
What is a gem in the county that most people might not know about?
I don't know. Most people won't know about it, but Robinson Preserve, I think, is the gem in the county.
Favorite Tampa Bay sports team?
Lightning.
Coffee order, how do you take it?
Black, very little cream.
Last book or podcast you really enjoyed?
This podcast, definitely.
Aww.
That's so nice. And one word to describe Manatee County's future?
Positive.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you for being here with us. It's an honor to have our chair and first commissioner be a part of this podcast. Everything we do is to support this board's decisions and efforts and policymaking. So thank you on behalf of our team for being here. One final question, and just maybe pretend you're not a commissioner for a moment, just a resident with a busy life, which you are. What single civic habit would you recommend to busy people that most of us overlook, but it makes a big difference when you do it?
Look at the opportunities, especially when there's matching funding for some of the giving days and things that come up every year and every other year, depending on who's doing it. It's a little bit of your money, but it goes a long way with the matching. And there's a lot of nonprofits, unfortunately or fortunately for them, the bigger nonprofits end up getting an outsized portion of that. But if you really dig into something you're passionate about and you can search it, there are a lot of small nonprofits that maybe only raise a couple of $1,000 the whole year to keep the lights on. And their whole years it can make it or break it from those one events. So look for those. Donate $25 or $50. It gets matched up to $50 or $100. You can really help propel a nonprofit for something that you're really passionate about once or twice a year.
I love that. Great advice. Thank you so much for being here, Commissioner.
Sure.
And just in case anybody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that, Commissioner?
Sure. I like to think I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. In fact, I have a town hall coming up Thursday if we get done with land use in time. I do them every month. But if you want to reach out at any other time, you can call me on my county cell. You can email me on my county email. You can find me on Substack, Facebook, wherever. Easiest thing to do rather than try to give that all to you as you're driving is if you just go to georgecruz.com. Literally just georgecruz.com. It has every single link to every social media account I have, and it's got my county cell phone number, my county email address right there on that website. Just bookmark it and reach out to me whenever you want.
And that's it for this episode of Chambers Changes and Conversations. Thanks again, Commissioner Cruz, for your time, expertise, and more importantly, doing work that matters. If you've got a topic that you would like us to tackle, let us know by commenting on this post from the county seat. And on behalf of the men and women doing work that matters for you, I'm Casey Zempel.
I'm Stephanie Garrison.
And I am George Cruz.
Make it a great day to live, work, and play
in Manatee County.
The opinions expressed by guests of Chambers Changes and Conversations do not necessarily reflect those of Manatee County government or its employees.